Welcome to the Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Sardo. It is Sunday, May 16th at 9:45 p.m. How was your week? How are you doing? I had a good week. The week went surprisingly well. I went to the Mets game, the Mets series this weekend in St. Pete. They played the Rays, and I'm a huge Mets fan. I mean, maybe average size Mets fan, or I don't know. I like the Mets. It's my team. And they got swept by the Rays. Yet I'm still like the happiest person in the world. So that has to be something there. Like, I got to go and watch three baseball games after the pandemic, and the weather in St. Pete was phenomenal. Oh man, Friday night was gorgeous. Gorgeous. Breezy. Not too hot, no humidity, like very San Diego-ish weather this past weekend, and it was delightful. I'm having my last drink of the weekend too as well, because I've been on a diet the past 3-4 weeks. Went to Chicago, the COVID belly had to go. And the only way for that to kind of work for me is to not drink. And I was like, no sugar, no carbs, no booze. And so this weekend has been back to Fat Fest. But I went to Nash's Chicken on Central. And they make spicy Nashville-style chicken sandwiches. I was there Friday night. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. So good. So very, 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 very good. I don't know, like, what they did with the batter, but it was a different style of battering. You know, it wasn't like panko or I'm trying to think, like, beer batter or, like, you know, like, chicken wing batter. Like, it was good. It was very tasty. Nice special recipe that I need to find out, because I enjoyed those very much. Oh, and that's the other thing, is like, since I didn't have any sugar for like 3+ weeks, I was like, I'm gonna have Kool-Aid, because they had Kool-Aid there. And I drank the first sip of Kool-Aid, and it was the thickest, most sugary Kool-Aid I have ever had in my life. But needless to say, the Mets got swept. And I went to the Rays, to the Tropicana Field. When with Tropicana Field, Tropicana Field has a bad rep. It does. They're like, this is the worst stadium in baseball. And the Friday night, we were sitting in, like, I called it the Miller Lite party deck section, the upper deck. It's called something else. Some other sponsor came in and took it over. And it was fun. It was a good crowd. You know, there was like some COVID restrictions, so it wasn't packed. But 30 T-ball kid, little league kids came in and like took over our section, so we had to move over. But they're bleacher seats, which is fun, which is nice, you know, because like I was with two other dudes, and we're not small dudes, so we had room, and plus people weren't sitting next to us, so there was more room to kind of just like lounge and watch the game. It's a nice view, being out there in left field above everything. And I don't know the guy's name who hit the home run, but somebody hit the farthest home run I've ever seen at Tropicana Field Friday night. And it was amazing. Like, it was spectacular. It was not by the Mets, and it was sad, but it went over the catwalk and under the banners, and maybe like probably like 20 feet from where we were sitting, because the party deck is really high up, and there's no way somebody humanly possibly should be able to hit a home run that high and then kind of like and make the curves and the right angle to dodge all the different things that are in the way, because Tropicana Field's catwalk is hilarious. Again, there's a theme with Tropicana Field being the worst stadium ever in baseball. And one of those things is that catwalk gets in the way. Let's see if we can look this up, because I want to give this guy credit. Tampa Bay Rays. St. P. Rays, as I like to call them. St. P. Rays. Schedule. Sweep, sweep, sweep. So sad. So sad. Let's make sure I got all my sound taken off. Okay, Mike Zunino, homered a 464-foot home run to deep left where we were. And it's just a monster shot. My buddy that was with us said that he tried to see if we were in the shot, but like I guess we were behind the foul pole in the frame of the camera angle. So, and then Brady's walk off that game, one run. The sadness. And again, that's the sad, like, my team got destroyed this weekend, yet I'm happy because I got to go outside. I got to go to some baseball. I went bar hopping. I went out, had some good food. I'm fully vaccinated, you know, FYI. And I wore a mask, and you had to wear a mask going into the trap. But it was just fun to go out and walk up to a bar, order a drink, listen to some live music, watch people walk through the city. I mean, I've been cooped up for the past year, and I owned a comic book store, and I bartended forever, so I'm used to talking and seeing tons of people. I'm a very social person. I'm at my best when I'm at a convention, because I just get to chat with tons of people and say hi and interact, and those interactions are very important to me, because like, it's like a social counter in my belly that like gets nice and warm and fuzzy. So to just be out among people was so refreshing and so fun. And something I didn't notice, well, because I was stuck inside for a year, cooped up, is Central Avenue in St. Pete basically is a new city. New restaurants, new bars, new buildings that weren't there a year ago, and just a new group of people are down there. And I walked down there, I was like, oh, none of this really feels familiar at all. Yet it seems familiar because I live in, this is my city. It's just weird getting used to that. Like, going out a lot, and then like not going out, and then like going out, and you're like, I still want people to stay away from me. And I'm like looking around at these different restaurants. And I was like, this wasn't here. This building wasn't here. That wasn't there. But we were able to catch some live music. We got like two songs before they like the band ended, but that was super nice to see a guy on a big piano and a guy on drums jamming it out for the closing song of a set. And you know, I got the little goosies, you know, a little warm fuzzy feeling in my belly for that. That was so nice. So hopefully the world is getting a little closer back to normal. And maybe like this weekend was like a small step of me personally getting used to the world still going on and being crazy and doing all those fun things, but I was protecting my family and friends and was staying in. So maybe some people have been out and about and was able to survive the pandemic that way. That's fine, you know. But for me, my wife's a doctor, so I had to, you know, follow the rules because we wanted our kids and our parents to survive this. And we had some good times and stuff. So, but it was again, it was just super fun to just get back into a pseudo normal pre-pandemic environment. The Kickstarter for Monkeys Fighting Robots, the magazine number 3, is doing well. We got to our second stretch goal this week. The book is now going to be 36 pages, And if we reach our next stretch goal, it will be 40 pages. And I really am trying to get this book to 48 pages. I think that would be a really nice number and a really thick book and something really cool to hold in your hands and heavy. And so if you have no clue what I'm talking about, head over to Kickstarter, type in Monkeys Fighting Robots. We should be the first thing to come up. Or if you're clicking on this through Facebook or Twitter, the link should be in our bios and easily to go to. And if you look at a previous post, it probably could be a link to Kickstarter. If you're on our website, there's a banner to the left and in the middle that says, like, has the counter of, you know, where we are in our total. And you just click on that. That'll send you over to Kickstarter. And this week, for the creators out there that are listening, I did a lot of cross promotion between other Kickstarters. And this is the first time I did it a little bit last Kickstarter. But this one was where I've been trying to do it more and more, because it, you get to try all the different avenues. And I think it was successful. We partnered with Spider Girl number one and Buddy number one and the Lost Sunday. All good Kickstarters. I think they're all funded, probably, if things load up properly. Which they don't want to do right now, which is funny because I'm podcasting and all I really want this to do is work. Spectrum Internet, another shitty service that needs to stop. St. Pete, Florida needs better internet. So if you're a Google Fiber person and you can make it happen in St. Pete, that'd be really, really awesome. Okay, here we are. So Spider Squirrel number one, a buddy hero multiversal adventure. A 40-page comic that brings all of the fun, ridiculous, and adventures of old-school comics crossing over with other indie properties. And it just looks like a fun, bonkers comic book. And then Buddy number one, Milo Notis meet the Exorcist. Buddy must summon the courage to protect his clueless humans from a sudden onslaught of devilish beasts hellbent on world domination. Yeah, that was... It looks good. It looks good. And The Lost Sunday is in English and Romanian? And it looks like something I can share with my kids. I've started looking at books now that I can share with my kids. I got the Bone Omnibus. Probably talked about this last time. I forgot how big that thing is. It's like the heaviest book in the world. So The Lost Sunday, a fairy tale comic about burnout. Nina lives in a dusty town haunted by the six angry wolves of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Each day brings never-ending chores, and no one can rest until they're done. Legend speaks of a seventh, kinder wolf, but everybody knows an evil witch stole it and keeps it locked away. But Nina has had enough, so she's set on an ambitious quest to go to the Forgotten Realms, vanquish the witch, bring back Sunday, and enough free time for everybody. And the artwork is very, very cute. It looks like something that my kids and I will enjoy. And I'm looking at him right now while I'm talking to you, and I'm silent, so I apologize for that. okay, so we got the Mets, the Rays, drop COVID. Oh, Mayor of Easttown? Are you watching Mayor of Easttown? Kate Winslet? The whodunit of this season? Oh, Mayor is a train wreck. And not a very nice person. But I'm drawn to her. It's so weird. This show also makes me feel really old because Kate Winslet is my age and she's a grandmother in this show. Grandma Detective. And Guy Pearce got really old all of a sudden. He looks like he's falling apart. And then all of Mare's friends are in it and they all look probably like my age, but they all look kind of old. I mean, that Pennsylvania town is just burning them down, I guess. Like, just, it's hardening them up, giving them that tough skin. What is Kate Winslet? Kate Winslet? She is 1 year older than me. So she is 45, I'm 44. But they make her look like 55 in this. You know, just frumpy clothes and everything. Like, it's rough. It's rough, but she's intense. She's a good actress. It should win awards. She should win awards. Jean Smart, phenomenal actress. She's like the mom in this, and she chimes in her lines and steals every scene she's in. It's whatever she does lately seems to just be golden. But the murder mystery, like, who killed the girl? Who's stealing the girls? There's a priest involved that looks super dirty. But last week they, you know, showed a guy. I don't even know if it's a guy, but like had some girls in a prison inside of a bar, inside of a house. And they went to show who he was or she was. And they just cut it off at the end. And I'm like, what? With these type of shows, I like there to be clues to where you can guess who the person is. Because right now, like, there's been a few shows and a few comic books where, like, they just explain the ending to you at the end. And you're like, oh, well, that's what happened. And that's not fun at all. That's not mystery. That's just you. That's just going through the motions and then, like, here's what happened in real life. So I'm really hoping that they start, like, dripping some details and some, like, crumbs for me to gobble up and digest and kind of have that water cooler conversation with my friends of, like, hey, who do you think? Who did this? What's going on? And right after I, like, upload this podcast, I will be watching this week's episode. So good. Where are we at with this show? 1, 2, 3, 4. This can't be the last episode of the season. No, there's two more after this. So this should be, depending on how you write it, the episode that is going to really, like, piss me off. Like, if there was a cliffhanger last week, and I'm like, ah. But there should really be a cliffhanger this week to where they wrap it up in the next two episodes. With next week's episode being, like, the Game of Thrones crazy episode that everybody gets behind and goes bonkers. And it was nice to actually see Evan Peters in this. Quicksilver. Evan Peters is really growing on me. I mean, ever since he started doing the Quicksilver stuff. But this scene actually plays like a detective. An older gentleman. Not that old though. But like an older gentleman. Where I think he's getting out of the kid mode of his characters. Oh, he's playing he played the Jeffrey Dahmer in the American Horror Story. Yeah, like he's a quality actor. He's definitely a quality actor. I would support what he does in the future. Except for the Jeffrey Dahmer stuff. I can't watch the Jeffrey Dahmer stuff. The Bad Batch. Anybody watching the Bad Batch out there? I'm kind of confused of what the end game is for the first season. I don't know what they're doing. I enjoy it, but I don't know how it's going to fit. I guess, yeah, that's the problem with like prequels and in between. Like, I don't know how it's going to fit in a universe, nor do I really care how it fits. Like, if it fits, but like Omega, like what's the end game for her? Is she force sens? Is she going to be the first force sensitive clone? Is she going to be like Eve to an Adam clone, and then there's going to be a line of clones out there in the world that they reveal later, or in something else? I just don't know. And like, I understand the Empire is the villain, but what are the Bad Batch are just running, and there's like stand like just kind of like episode of the week episodes going on. But the background plot isn't very. It's just not really there. I know those like tall-headed aliens have something up their sleeve, but I really don't understand how it's going to play into things. I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see. I mean, Dave Filoni kind of knows what he's doing. I'm not gonna say that he doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah, that was kind of where I. Oh, yeah, the wallop. All this week, I've been trying to watch a rocket launch. Not necessarily the rocket launch. There was a rocket launch in Virginia, the wallop station. And they were supposed to sprinkle some particles in the sky and, like, turn some clouds green and violet. And it was supposed to be able to be seen here in St. Pete, in our area. So, all this week. I want to see even last Sunday. Yeah, last Sunday. Well, I got the kids up. I got kind of people excited. I was like, the launch is going to happen. The launch is going to happen. And they scrubbed it every week. And so Sunday night, Monday night. And then I even like was late to hockey on Tuesday because we were trying to watch it. And then they scrubbed it. And then I think they hit a truck hit the launch pad on Wednesday. So it was scrubbed till Friday. And then I went to the baseball game and I was like, shit, I'm gonna miss it. But like, it didn't happen. And then the launch got scrubbed Saturday. And then today was like the last day that the launch can happen. And so we're up there and they were like, delay, delay, delay. And then they launched it. And I was like, sweet. And then we couldn't see anything. We couldn't see any of the vapor trail. And so I spent a lot of time talking to my kids about this rocket launch and the vapor trail and all the crazy things we're gonna see, and like, we got nada. And my kids were like, "You suck." But, yeah. So that's how things kind of ended before I came downstairs to talk with you guys. And next week is gonna be, it's gonna be this week coming up is gonna be a good week. I think, we got some momentum with the Kickstarter. We're at 90 backers. We need to get to 100. We're funded. We're rolling through stretch goals. Articles and art are coming in. I'll be able to share that with people. So that's good. Then we'll have our regular comic review coverage. And on Thursdays, we usually put up some exclusive previews from Marvel and Aftershock. That's kind of how that plans out. Friday is the new Zack Snyder zombie film. We got Army of the Dead. And then there's also HBO Max has a Taylor Sheridan film with Angelina Jolie that came out this week that I didn't see yet. That looks like Taylor Sheridan. What's his? No. Where is he? Yellowstone. Where is his? Is he directing it? Yes, he's directing it. Those Who Wished Me Dead. And it just looks like an intense intense action film with Angelina Jolie and Nicholas Hunt. But I did over the weekend talk about Wind River, and Wind River, I need to rewatch that because that movie is so intense and like super gut punched the chest where I left the film, like just out of it and breathless and crazy. So I got those two movies that I want to watch. I'm really excited about the Zack Snyder movie. Like, it's going to be bonkers. I'm excited about Taylor Sheridan because he's like one of my favorite writer and directors, and I love Yellowstone, and I love everything that he's done so far. And I have a disc golf tournament on Saturday morning down in Sarasota at the Water Tower place. So this is also like, this is also tournament week where I'll be like putting 100 times a day. I'll go to the field, get some field work in, and I might hit like Maximo and Azalea courses sometime this week to try to just get some nut course in. The Sarasota course is very wooded and technical. The outside is open, but then once you get into the woods, it's very technical, and you gotta get your shots and try to like hit certain landing zones. And it'll be interesting to see how that goes. I mean, this will be my third tournament ever. I'm super excited for it. We're playing like the Rec Division, MPO3 or MO3, however it works. And I'm probably by the end of this year, end of the season, I'll move up to the next division and probably just start getting slaughtered, which is fine because like I've only been playing this for less than a year, so it's fine if I'm getting my ass kicked. But like, and this is just a broader statement, because I've seen this in hockey and other things. Like, if you're playing a C tournament, be a C player. Don't be a B or an A player coming down trying to win a tournament in the shittier division. Like, because you're kind of just an asshole at that point in time. But everybody does it. It's the worst. And for some reason, I always end up on, like, the team that has all, like, true, like, C players. Or B players playing, you know, and then they're playing against, like, pros or whatever at that level. Like, I always seem to be on the team that has all the people that are trying to, like, I don't know. So I guess it could be us, where we're not stacking everything. But if you're really good at disc golf, don't play in the rec division or the novice division. Like, I get that you want to win a tournament, but, like, you know, play in the division. So I was at Local Route, and I told him I won my second tournament by default, and he was like, yeah, you got to move up now. And I was like, I felt bad, because, like, I'm going to probably play, like, rec this season for disc golf, you know, in the tournaments that I play, and see how I do. And I mean, like, I don't think I'm, like, I know that I have issues, and I know that, like, I fuck up a lot, and I'm able to scramble a little bit and stuff like that, but, like, you know, I guess if everything is going perfect, I can play really well. And that's what I did in the tournament for 9 holes, and I won the tournament because it rained and they didn't count my back 9 holes, which weren't as good. So yeah, that's what's going on. So we got some good movies. I gotta catch up on Nightwing, Tom Taylor's Nightwing. We got a disc golf tournament. We still got the Kickstarter going on. And I'm going to try to pair up with some more creators to do some more cross-promoting. I feel like that's healthy and it works. And, like, you're hopefully hitting people in your niche. And then probably, like, Sunday after everything's done, I'm going to, like, hang out with the fam, probably go to the beach, and hopefully enjoy the weather. Because at some point in time, it's going to start raining here and things are going to be bad. So, to the 18 people that listen to the reboot of the podcast, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And this podcast isn't about numbers. It's about me getting some things off of my chest and hopefully sharing some some information that I get from working on this side of the universe in the comic book industry, in the website industry, in the Kickstarter industry, and sharing some of that information with you, and then also like just having a good conversation with you about life. I mean, like, I'm a dad of three. I go through some crazy shit, and I have some good times, I have some bad times, but like, this is my outlet post-pandemic to kind of just like get those feelings out. And I really appreciate you listening to me talk into the void. And I hope that you kind of tell me what's going on in your neck of the woods, like hobby-wise, whether it's disc golf or comic books or film or TV, like that whole realm, or what Kickstarter you're working on, or what Kickstarters you're backing. Like, those things are important to me, and like, we're going to build this up, because I think this is healthy. I think this is where I want to be. I'm in a good place right now, which is not that I wasn't in a bad place, but I think I'm in a good place right now with like my family and work and everything else, to where like I have 30 plus minutes to talk into the void and like prep for a show and upload it and have these things. So again, I'm Matt Sardo. This is the Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast. If you want to chat with me, my email's listed in this podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Matthew Sardo or Monkeys_Robots. I'm on Instagram at Matthew Sardo. Monkeys Fighting Robots is on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. There's multiple ways for you to get in touch with me. If you want to chat about anything or need help on anything, just let me know, and I will be there for you. And the one thing that I'm going to say to people is just create some shit. Like, get your shit and create it, whatever it is, and make it happen. And enjoy your Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your week. And I love you.